Hello, everyone. I spoke with Father. He gives his love, so does Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I give you my peace, like we do at the beginning of every meeting. Before I talk about what Father had shared with me, I wanted to point out today's service was about touching the hem of Jesus' garment, and I was kind of taken aback a little bit by that because I have, I guess, all these years that I've had the privilege to go see Father, I take for granted that every single time I walk into the chamber, I get a greeting of love from him, and then I get three big hugs from all of them. I would encourage everyone to not take for granted the gifts that you and I are given by Father, and even the presence that he allows us to step in front of him with, to see him. I know not everybody sees him, per se, but I know that everybody has the chance to go and visit him and to feel them. So I would encourage you to continue to do that. And I was just a little surprised at myself that I just kind of take that for granted when I shouldn't, because I don't know of any other human being who has that privilege like I do, and I'm not going to take it for granted anymore. So today, when I went and saw them, I didn't just hold on to them for a short moment. I actually squeezed all of them very tight because I love them so much and they love you. So I spoke with Father, and he said this. He said, ah, summertime. It's a transition of moving from what is once dead or dormant to something purely alive. You have all had time to hibernate. Now is the time for all of you to come out of your caves and to be active. Put yourselves out there. Open conversations. Help those who cross your path. Give healings. Give counsel. Stop being afraid. Trust in me now. The time will now grow dark, and the light you carry will be sought out by others. You will be made known by word of mouth and by your examples of faith. I have tried and have proven all of you. Now be strong and shine brighter than the sun. I need all of you now to be who I have made you to be. These are the names I have given you. I will list them in the order you were chosen and then trained by my son. Starfire, firelight, brilliance, light starter, tranquility, starburst, light star, trisis, blazar, and light stream. I have changed all of you into these names, and I am so very proud of all of you. You all now embody these traits. I gave you these new names for a reason. You are all new creatures, per se. There are none like you on this earth that carry the authority and power that you have, but you have to believe it. I am not telling you this so you get a swelled head. I am merely trying to outline for all of you how very important you are to me and the part you play for me in this final plan of salvation. Stop doubting me. I chose all of you because you believe in me, Jesus, and my son, Supplanter. Stop and think for a moment. How many people would really believe you if you told them, I have a second son and you are a part of his team? How many would not say you are crazy? Have I not shown all of you time and again the miracles my son has done personally for you and your family and all the miracles you have done for others? We are done hiding who we are. We are not ashamed of who we are. I have sent you, and I am with you. The time of testing you is now done. Be you. Be strong. Be active. Be the miracles that I have made all of you to be. Help and heal. Feel my love and your peace in my heart, or in your hearts. Yes, I felt I needed to be very direct today. I speak to all of you this way because you love me, and I love you. Now be active. He actually was very loving as he shared this with me, but he seemed very to the point, I guess is what I would say. We all have kind of been going through the paces. We've been kind of putting ourselves out there a little bit. We've been stepping up when time presented itself. Father now wants you and I to actually put ourselves out there. And what does that mean? Like he said in the letter to us, we're not going to hide anymore. We're not going to go and broadcast to the world who we are. That's not what his point is. But there have been opportunities for all of us where we've had conversations with people, and we could have stepped over that line and shared with these people what it is that we do, but we didn't. We hesitated because we were afraid of what they might think. Father is now telling all of us, you don't need to be afraid anymore. You don't need to be ashamed of who you are. He's going to make it so that anyone that comes across our path that is looking for some kind of a help, because you have to understand, team, these souls plead with Father on a daily basis, and they're asking him to send help. I had a conversation with a woman last week that was brought in by a friend, and she said to me, I have no idea why I'm really here, except I've been asking God for help time and again, and I feel like I'm stuck in a rut. And I smiled at her, and I handed her my business card, and I said, I can help you. I said, here's what I do, and I kind of explained a little bit to her. And as we were leaving, she says to me, she goes, I don't think he answers my prayers. I said, the funny thing about most human beings is our Father, I said, he answers everybody's prayers, but sometimes he answers them in part. He gives you a little bit of information, and he waits for you to move. And then when you move, then he gives you a little bit more information. I said, the reason that you came today was so that we could meet. And now if you follow through with what I said to you, he will help you. All you have to do is believe that. I haven't heard a word from her, and that's okay. I did give her a copy of my book, but I did my job, and that's what Father's asking all of us to do, okay? That's what he means. Does anybody have any questions about anything that Father brought up or I have just mentioned? Okay. I'm going to throw this question out there. Are you feeling drained? Are you feeling anxious? And are you feeling angry at times? And you don't really understand why it is that you're kind of feeling that way. I'll share with you the reason why you may be feeling that. As of, I think, last month, Father now connected us to this world, and you are now going to feel energy on a completely new level, evil energy, that is. For instance, Iraq. Everything that's going on over there, all it is frustrating and aggravating on many energy levels, and evil for sure is working its magic there. Satan is very active. I need you to be on guard. I need you to be aware of this fact. I need you to not take it out on other people or loved ones when you feel this way. I would encourage you to meditate more, to ground more. I will also tell you that if you're in a public setting and you're feeling very uncomfortable, even though you've grounded yourself, you've created a rose bush around yourself, and you have that light blue pog shield around you, maybe you're still feeling everything. So I would tell you what you need to do then is make that blue shield thicker. Make it thicker, and you'll find that you are not feeling so on guard or agitated per se. Okay? Anybody have any questions about that?
Can you go through where the pog shield should be? I thought you told us it should be around our heart, but...
It should be around you completely.
On the outside?
On the outside. You want to pull your... I'll go over the whole thing with you. You want to pull your aura in around you. Then you want to put your rose bush up around the outside of your aura. Then you want to release the pog shield and put that completely around everything outside of your rose bush, so that you are doubly encapsulated. Okay? Everybody understand that?
So that's separate from the aura then? That's
correct.
Separate from your aura?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep, you pull your aura in, you rosebush your aura, and then you pog the outside of your aura and your rosebush completely so that you're sitting inside a blue shield.
Okay.
But you still need your rosebush up.
Right.
Okay, and then again, if you're feeling agitated or irritated, make the blue pog thicker. Because right now, most of the time, I think we make it like a quarter inch to a half inch thick. Maybe it needs to be an inch or 2 inches thick. And you can just do that mentally, making my shield thicker.
Okay.
Well, you can do that. I don't want you to make your rose bush thicker, because when we do that, we kind of cut ourselves off from the world. Unless you want to, if you want to be left alone for a while, nothing wrong with that. Make your rose bush thicker. But when you make your pog shield thicker, you're basically dispelling the negative energy. I don't want anything to do with you. Don't come in. Okay? We're not cutting off the world. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. I have something exciting to share with you. Effective on 6-5, so that would be like 3 weeks ago, when I was out with Blazar in Texas, he and I were talking about how sometimes when we go to public places or in the congregation or things like that, we have to give commands, and we have to tell our team that we need them to pog everybody, to BS the situation, which is blank and sweep. We're all familiar with that. And so I said to him, okay, I tell you what, effective today, and I didn't contact any of you, I figured I would discuss it with you today, you now have an automatic BS that takes place. Your lead angels were instructed by my lead angel, Lexis, that from that day forward, since 6-5, that was a Thursday, from that day forward, any congregation that you go to, any public place that you go to, any location that is not your house, before you get there, they will automatically bind and sweep and kill everything. So that when you guys do get to those locations, that area is going to feel your peace. Because it's time now for everybody you come in contact with to feel your presence of peace. And in time, they're going to note that when you're not around, that that is absent. And this, again, is Father's way of confirming for everybody around you that you were sent in Father's name. So you don't need to give any more standing orders, per se. You don't have to say to your team, hey, before I get to so-and-so, can you? They will automatically do it now. And I've actually had that gift or privilege for the past 3 years. I gave Lexis a standing order. Wherever we go, I don't want to know about it. Kill everything. Get it right. And sometimes I forget I do that, and I'll turn to him, and he'll go, we've got this, sir. Okay, great. I'm glad you're still paying attention. So it's just a way to ease up your trying to remember everything or be on top of everything. If you're feeling that something is lacking when you get to that location, then you can pog it, okay? You have that right. I need all of you to be commanders. You're not going to pussyfoot around anymore. You're not going to be mealy-mouthed when it comes to Satan and his. If something doesn't feel right, pog it first, ask questions later. They'll get the message that they shouldn't be there, and they'll stop coming. Any questions on that?
So if we try to destroy an angel or something that's not supposed to be destroyed, we're not going to get in trouble.
No, you can't destroy angels. I've pogged Jesus, I can't begin to tell you how many times. It doesn't hurt them. You know, and even as I'm pogging him, I'll go, brother, it's me. I know, just making sure. It's okay, all right. It can't hurt them. It actually enhances them in some way. It gives them a little bit of strength. Now, don't go around pogging all your angels. They'll be fine. The other exciting thing I have to tell you is that I think it was either a week or two ago, it was a Sunday morning, and Jesus looked at me and he said, from this day forward, please let the team know that anybody who partakes of communion at any time, the minimum strength that I will give them is 1,000 times regular strength. And before I could ask the question, he goes, and for those that are not new apostolic, all they need to do is ask Father, and he'll give them that same strength weekly, but all they have to do is ask for it. So, you and I as new apostolics, every time we celebrate communion now with Jesus, the minimum he's giving us is 1,000 times. If you feel you would like more than that, you can ask him, and he will give you more. But I'm telling you that the reason why Father is now being very adamant about us becoming active, and we are now having the automatic BS take place, and now you're going to receive a minimum of 1,000 times strength, is not a coincidence, team. This plan is moving forward, and it's not going to be pleasant at times, but Father is now giving you and I everything to get us ready. We can't pretend that with what's happening in this world, it's not going to affect us and our family in some way. I've been in every circle I've been in now. I've been trying to tell the new apostolics, if you think that we're going to escape this with Jesus before any of the garbage starts happening, you are mistaken. We are going to be here, my friends, during some of this horrible stuff that's taking place. And this is what Father's talking about. By word of mouth, people are going to know who we are. They're going to come running to us, and we're going to be able to help them in some way. And in time, even Blazar and I had a conversation. He said, is there going to be a period of time where all of us as a team are sequestered? And I said, yes. But we'll be going out during the day to try and help people where we can and work together. It's not going to be some weird thing, per se. We're not cutting off the world. We're supposed to protect them. And as time progresses, Father will give us more information, and you and I will know exactly what to do. But for now, Father's asking all of us to be who He made us to be. Again, I would encourage you, if you haven't had the chance to look up what your name means, look it up. Father's going to open your eyes and show you exactly why He gave you those names. And the power that's in those names are the attributes or the traits He's talking about that are now in you. We have been through so much, haven't we? How can we doubt anything that Father's telling us? It's very humbling for all of us to think to ourselves, out of the billions of human beings who have walked this planet, Father handpicked you 10. And He put you apart from everybody, and He has spent more time with you than He has anyone else. And He's asked me to train you in different ways, and we have all shared in so many amazing, insane, drug-related situations that no human being would ever be able to accept, but you and I have. And we've witnessed them, and then we, by our own hands, have seen that when someone crosses our path and Father's given us the power and authority, that we've stepped in and we've helped change those people's lives in a positive way. We even marvel even now, even though we've been doing it for 4 years. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get easy for us either. And the funny thing is, where Father made the point that we've all been hibernating for a while, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you, but I don't believe anybody has really been going through something horrific, horrific. Yes, we have our little battles that we've all been struggling with, but not something that we can't handle or something that overwhelms us like it used to, because Father's given us the strength. Jesus has given us the strength. We've been trained. We've been taught. We're not stupid to what's going on around us. So be vigilant. Be aware of what's going on. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me, okay? Tranquility, if you would be so kind to share with us what's been going on with Tom.
Sure. Actually, I'll take you back to Pentecost. Tom wasn't able to attend the service, but he did listen to the service online. And when I came home, he was very moved. He said that he did a lot of crying in that service, that he said he just felt the connection between our Heavenly Father and himself. He said they had picked all his favorite hymns. He said the chief apostle, the words were so inspiring, because that has always been his motto, is to serve in love. Tom, by nature, is just like that. And he said at that moment, he said he was convinced that the New Apostolic Church is the right church. Through all that he's been through, I guess he had some questions, but he said at that moment he knew within his heart of hearts that that was right. And then he told me that he was also, when he had that thought, he thought, okay, now I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what Satan's going to do as a result of my conviction and my commitment. And I didn't think much of it. I was very happy for him, and we had a good afternoon together. I went to sleep. Tom is still sleeping in our basement apartment. He still has a lot of pain, and he still has a lot of sleep issues. And so because I work full-time, he usually sleeps in the basement. I sleep upstairs in the second floor. And I awoke that night, and it sounded like people were arguing, fighting outside, and I thought, gee, that's kind of odd. Two people were arguing very loudly. I sleep with earplugs because my boys are not the quietest when they come home. So I thought, that's, wow, it's really something that I can hear them through these earplugs. And I walked down the stairs to try to follow the sound, and then I realized it was my son Andrew, and he was screaming from the basement, and all I heard him say was, Daddy, please don't die. Please don't die, Daddy. So then I ran down the stairs, and Tom was in a heap. He was sitting, but there was a big hole in the drywall. The carpet was full of blood, and Tom was unconscious. And so Andrew said, should I call 911? I said, yes, please call 911 and call your brother, Matthew. Thomas was in Germany at the time at the Pentecost service, so I didn't have to worry about him. And I just kind of knelt down in front of Tom, and I said, Tom, And he was just, all I could hear was gurgling, and just, I saw this blood coming from his ear, and I quickly ran to get some cloths for his head and trying to find out where the blood was coming from. And he came to, and he said, what happened? And I said, you've been hurt. You fell down the stairs. Just stay there. The paramedics are coming. And all he kept saying was, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't even tell you how many times he said that. And I said, just don't move. And the paramedics came, and by then he was lucid, and they said, what's the date? And he said, the date and the day, and do you know where you are? Yes, he knew. They said, where do you have pain? He said, I know I've broken my arm. I know my arm is broken. And what had happened, the last thing that he remembered was that he was at the top of the stairs. He had gone to the kitchen, which is upstairs, to get a slice of bread. And he said he remembers being at the top of the stairs, and then he said he felt a push, and he tumbled down the stairs. His head went through the drywall, and then he tumbled down two more stairs. So we were all pretty shaken up. They took him to the hospital. He had to get a staple and stitches in his head. He broke his wrist, two bones in his wrist. His knee, well, it was very, very swollen, but nothing was broken. But he couldn't bend his knee. And they x-rayed his neck and his chest and everywhere. It was just the wrist that was broken, but everywhere else was badly bruised. The problem was that when they did blood work, they said that his blood alcohol level was elevated. And so he said to me that he had taken his pain medication a few hours before and nothing helped. And the pain was so bad, he couldn't stand it anymore. And he said, I had two beers. So I said to Tom, I was getting these impressions, and I said, you know, the spirits were lulling you into this, you know, this kind of like false sense of security, and then, you know, Satan took advantage of it, and there you ended up at the bottom of the stairs. So there's many blessings in this. It just so happened that as Andrew walked in the door, he had been out, he walked in the door just at the moment when Tom fell down the stairs. The other thing is that when he went through the drywall, there was no joist on the other side, because if there would have been the joist, falling down 10 stairs for sure would have broken his neck. So I was talking to Suppy about this, and our Heavenly Father has been so gracious to us in spite of all of this, or with as a result of this, because now Tom is right-handed, so, and it's his right hip wrist that is broken. So he's depending on me a lot more. And also he has to be upstairs with us. He has no other choice. He was taking a few steps backwards, not progressing as I would have hoped. And now he has to be with us all the time. And that gives me, I find that when he's with me, he has more of a sense of peace. He's able to sleep a little bit better. He's, I guess he's progressing a little bit more. The last couple days have been pretty rough, and he's not in good shape. But all in all, when Suppy and I were talking, it's like our Heavenly Father intervened and said, you know, Tom, we're going to shake things up a little bit for you, and this is what needs to happen. So if you could please continue to pray for him. I've been talking to him and telling him, you know, he's got to keep fighting. He has to be strong. He has to be more aware of the spirits and how they're trying to lull him into or to tempt him. And I mean, he's for them, he's enemy number one. He's the living miracle. He's the one that the apostle was able to heal and to cast the demon out. So he is struggling. I hesitated to tell everyone because it was such a shock for Andrew and I. It was very unnerving because clearly Tom was close to death at that point. But now I would appreciate if everybody wouldn't mind to pray that he has the strength to overcome and to battle, and that as a family we also have the strength that we need to care for him. So, I don't know, Shuppy, do you want to add anything else to that?
I think you've got it covered pretty well.
Okay.
Is he recovering okay now?
He has a lot more pain. Actually, you know, it's kind of strange because when it first happened, he was more upbeat and positive than he is now. Now he's feeling, now that his wrist is healing, he's feeling all the other pains. And he's really, he's been in bad shape, I'd say, the last 3-4 days. He's black and blue all over. His scalp is just, his ear, his knee, everywhere is just black and blue. But because the pain in his wrist was so intense, he didn't feel anything else at the time. Even when the doctor said to him, where do you have pain? And he says, I know, I broke my arm. And the doctor said, but where else? He said, just my arm. So he had such an intense, extreme pain at the time, he didn't feel anything else. And now that that part is healing, now he's has more pain everywhere else.
Sure. It's rumored that you have more pain when it's healing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jim can share after about 3 weeks after my surgery when I was shut down by him, how I was reacting to the pain and everything. So, yeah.
We'll certainly pray for him.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
This is the harder part because you're right. The trauma's done, so now the body's trying to heal.
Yes.
And
as it was, and Trisus, you can probably relate to this too, is your body is so used to being sick for so long, like prior to this, he's got the fibromyalgia, the chronic fatigue, and being plagued and tortured for so many years, his body doesn't really know what it's like to be healthy.
Uh-huh.
And so it's for him, I think it's almost like a double whammy because he's fighting now to get well physically from his physical ailments, and he's still fighting to get well emotionally and spiritually and to say, no, you really don't have this pain. It was just that Satan was having his way with you and convincing you. But I think after a while, you're sick for so long, your body doesn't really know what it feels like to be well.
Oh, yeah. I'll send him an email this week to tell him to keep his ears open. I'm assuming you put his he still has access to his email.
Sorry?
I assume he still has access to email. I mean, if I send him an email, he'll get it.
Yeah, it might bounce back, but not back to you. Sometimes it'll come to me, but then I'll just tell him that
I'll shoot him an email this week. I can share a little bit.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Tranquility, what you can do is just put your hand on him.
Yes.
And run energy through the parts of him that hurt the most.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that'll alleviate the pain.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Some of you on the team have asked me to discuss in a little more detail with the difference between spirits, demons, and entities. So I'll go over that with you now. Spirits are, a human being is a body, soul, and a spirit. A spirit is just a one-part entity. There are good spirits and there are evil spirits, and we're all familiar with what roles they play. Any emotion that you and I feel is prompted by a spirit. There isn't a time where your and my mind is completely quiet and there isn't something trying to influence it, again, whether that be good or evil. Most of the time, the evil spirit's responsibility of what they do is to confuse us, to plant a thought in our minds, to get us to go off in a direction that's anything unbecoming of a child of God or a holy person. They plant these thoughts, they build on, play on our emotions, and then they pretty much step aside and we make fools of ourselves as we bounce off of each other. We are completely aware of what they are and how they are, and most of the time the thought will come from the back of our head. That's your first proof that that is an evil spirit. because anytime you get a good idea, it's going to come from the front of your head. And that's because evil spirits can't face us. They know that the light that is inside of us, because we're children of God, is brighter than anything they can face. That's why they're cowards and they come from behind. Spirits cannot make anyone sick. They only influence is what their responsibility is. Demons and entities. A demon is a two-part being. They have a celestial body like an angel does, and they also have a spirit that drives them. And Satan has corrupted them. They are the fallen angels. They have armor, as we have seen. They are puppet masters, is what I would like to refer to them as. They do a little bit more than just antagonize. They plug a cord into a person, or they even enter a person. And based on whatever that person is involved with, be it drug use, be it anything that's not on the up and up, a demon is usually involved. And they get inside the person, and they plant thoughts in them. Sometimes they take the person over. They'll have conversations with loved ones where loved ones will ask the person, "Why would you say that to me?" And that person will say, "I would never say that to you," because they don't recall saying it, because they were not the ones who said it. Entities are a little more complicated than a demon or a spirit. Most of the time, you and I can see spirits or feel them more, and demons too, but entities, they dwell in two different worlds. They dwell in our world, and they dwell in their world. And when they are in their world, we don't really see them or feel them. The thing that gives them away is that gold cord that they plug in the back of their victim, is what I will say. And when you and I are aware that we're looking at a person and we don't see anything per se physically, we don't see a spirit, we don't see a demon, we look inside the person's space, the next thing we do automatically is we look into their back outside of them and see if something's plugged into them. And when we do see that, then we follow the entity. The entity is a combination of a spirit and a demon, but they phase in and out of space and time. I have never killed an entity here in our time. I always end up killing them over in his space and time. And most of the time, all of us have felt or followed them down into hell. And like I said to Lauren recently, who told me that she did have the privilege of going down to hell, I said, "Welcome to the team," because I don't think you've really experienced it until you've been to hell, because it's quite the trip. She laughed. We are on guard all the time. When we have conversations with people, that's what Father's also trying to tell you and I, that there may be a chance or an opportunity that you may come across somebody who's not even having a conversation with you. But if you and I are vigilant and we hear that they're having a conversation with someone else, listen briefly to the conversation and see if you can't just step in that moment and help them without their knowledge. We don't need to make ourselves known to these people that we've helped them. It's not like you and I get paid $20 a person when we point it out to Father. Look what I did. Look who I healed. But he wants that you and I make ourselves available. So not only physically, but mostly spiritually is what he's talking about. If somebody needs some help in the congregation and we're aware of that, there isn't any reason why you and I can't reach out to them. We are not accepted yet completely. We will be once I get announced, and then if you people think you don't have any peace now, just you wait. We will be a huge commodity where people are going to seek us out and ask us to teach them how to meditate, do energy healings, counsel them on all these things that you and I know. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about spirits, demons, or entities?
I do. I have a question.
Okay. All right.
I was telling you about Helen, that the house where they're renting, and that in the, I don't think I told you that night. So Helen's renting a house, and then there's also two basement apartments that are also being rented. And one of them is, he's a drug addict. But when he first rented, they had no idea. And the day that we spoke on the Wednesday, after I hung up from you, he came home. They saw him staggering down the street. He had been all beaten up, and he was higher than a kite. Now, when I know that there's a demon inside of him. I know that, and I've asked my team to put like a protective shield around Helen and her family, around their doors and their windows and everything. But if that person, that his name is Michael, so if Michael chooses not, if he has no desire to get well, no matter what we do, that's not going to help, right?
Not necessarily. If you've given that standing order, then that demon's not allowed in their apartment.
In Helen's, I know, but I'm talking about Michael, like the
yes.
Right, okay.
If he doesn't want to change and he's not looking to change, you will kill that demon and another one will come along
right.
and take his place.
Right. But yes, I can still protect Helen and her family.
You sure
their dwelling?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Good question. Anybody else? Okay. Our next meeting is Friday, July 18th at 6 p.m. I would appreciate if you can't make the meeting that you just send me an email or a text. And the only thing that's left is for me to pray with everybody. So I'd like to do that. Here we go. Loving Father, with thanks and praise, I bring my team before you and we all take a bow. We go down on one knee, Father, we bow our heads in humbleness and thanks and praise and adoration to you for all that you have arranged for us in our lives. The more we think of, Father, how our lives used to be before you had our paths crossed, the more we think to ourselves how uneventful, how boring, how lost perhaps, or how ignorant we may feel. We didn't know what was really going on in life. But you certainly have opened our eyes. You have shed light on situations that we have heard most of our life about, but never really had any details. We are well-schooled. We are master tacticians now of the other side, per se, and what it is that they do and how they are active. And we, Father, as your son, I'm very proud of these who you have chosen to work alongside with us, because sometimes there are things that we request of them to do, and it's not an easy thing for them to follow through with these requests, but yet they do them because of the love that they have for you and the love they have for me. There are special concerns that rest on everybody's hearts all the time, and they are very open with you as they discuss them with you, and for me it's my privilege now to bring every single one of them before you, and I open everyone's hearts, and I now show you, Father, all of their needs, whether it's for employment, whether it's for health, whether it's for security, whether it's for family, whether it's for anything they need monetarily, or maybe someone lacks something spiritually that they're asking you to help them with, maybe someone is lacking in faith, then, Father, now you will step in. You will provide what they need. Maybe they're having a procedure done in a couple weeks. Maybe their father has to go through something that is not pleasant. They know they have to go through it. But we seek now, Father, the strength that they can cope and deal with it. And anything else, Father, any quiet little secret that is deep in their heart, any desire that they have, we now shed light on it, Father, and I point them all out to you. You are the only one, Father, who we can turn to, who can give us the answers to these needs. You are the only one, Father, who will answer every question and every desire when the time is right. And even, Father, when we ask for something that you don't think we need, you don't say no. You just say soon. And we now understand that. You are the one who keeps your word. You are the one who is true, who keeps his promises. And you are the one who is constantly reassuring us that you are with us. And you also say to us, now you just need to believe. For a human being, Father, faith sometimes is a difficult task. We have all had the opportunity to be near you, to feel you, not necessarily to see you as I do, but everybody knows who you are on this team. Everybody knows who you are, Big Brother, because you have spent time in HS, you as well. And I just want to say thank you for all that you've done for us, for all the things that you are providing to us, even though we don't feel that we deserve one thing. And though we are, in your eyes, special, none of us ever thinks that we are some spoiled, rotten kid who can get away with anything or that we have any right beyond any other person on this planet. our responsibilities are greater than most people, and that's what humbles us. And there are times, Father, where perhaps we forget who we are, that we forget the power and authority that we carry. So you have put us in situations to show us who we are. But you have now said the testing is over. So for me, Father, I have to smile and say, we are now who you want us to be. But we will always grow. We always have room to learn. So I pray, Father, you will give us the courage that we need to move forward. You will give us the patience that we need to stand strong. And when we are confronted, Father, then I know for a fact that HS will be there with his hand on our shoulder, telling us exactly what we should say to anyone who opposes us. We are not in conflict with this church, but the men and the women in this church, at times, they are in conflict with us. So I pray for extra strength for my family here, for my friends, my loved ones, my best friends, they are. And that, Father, their courage does not wane, that their belief does not wane either. And that, Father, when the time comes that all of us have to prove to this world who we are, we will stand together. We will not back down because we're not afraid of anybody. We're not even afraid of Satan. We do not say that to provoke him, but it is the surety and the confidence that we carry because of you that we can stand and say these things. Without you, Father, we are lost. With you, we can do amazing things, which all of us have done. So now see, Father, the hearts of all the loved ones that are connected to our team here, and see, Father, their needs, and answer their concerns as well. And for me, Father, I give them all my peace to fill their hearts. We will see some of them next week. We are excited about that. Others we will see within the next couple months. We pray, Father, you will always bind our hearts together, that you will always keep us close, and that all of us knows that we can trust one another. When there is a problem or a need, no one hesitates to call out to us and say, please pray for me, please pray for this. Blazar has his little girl out on a trip. We pray for extra angels to cover her, which we have done too. So does Firelight. For Sydney, we did the same thing. These parents need not worry about anything because you personally have your hand around them and you will bring them home and they will experience something wonderful that makes us all kind of jealous on so many levels. But anyway, we thank you, Father, for all the opportunities you have given us. We pray for peace now again. If there's something we've forgotten, please cover it. And according to your will, I pray, Father, again, know how much we love you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.